Hi, welcome to another Writers After Dark. I'm Summer Brooks, and we are here because good stories start with the writers, since wherever there's a story, someone's either making it up or writing it down. And I am pleased as punch right now to be talking to debut science fiction, space opera, military sci-fi author J.S. Dewis. Jen has a new book out, or coming out, about to come out, called The Last Watch. And everyone knows I'm a sucker for westerns and space opera, and we have characters in here that easily straddle both those lines, and I'm happy to be talking to Jen about this. Hi, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Now, your background is Hollywood-ish, right?
Well, that makes it sound way cooler than it was, but... I was primarily in indie film, so mostly Midwestern independent films around when it became very popular to have incentives in your state to draw filmmakers away from places like Hollywood and New York, but also around the economic collapse of 2008. So it was an interesting time to be in freelance, but yeah, I worked in primarily the camera department, or Grip and Electric, doing... indie films, commercials, and various things like that. So that is my background in a nutshell.
So how long were you working with indie films before you said, nah, I'm going to go write science fiction?
Good question. well, I worked probably for about, I started working before I even graduated college. So probably almost 15 years total, because I worked all through college on stuff as well. And then there actually came a point where my now husband and I decided that the economic troubles took a little bit to catch up with. You plan film things so far in advance and you get investors so far in advance that it took about 4 years before things really caught up with that scene. And things started, jobs started getting really difficult to find. So we decided we were going to try to just that, and I started having trouble with my back, and we just didn't like the idea of not knowing if we were ever going to get paid again. there wasn't a, now of course we were in Chicago at the time, there's a pretty thriving industry going on there with TV shows and stuff, with the union, but before that there was not really a union to speak of in Chicago. It was incredibly difficult to become a part of that, so we were kind of just working non-union stuff, which can be pretty rough. So we kind of got out of that and decided to get more traditional day jobs, but still in the same industry. So my husband works at a lighting rental and production equipment rental warehouse, as the general manager, up in Madison. And that's why we moved up here. So once I came up here, I continued working freelance for a while. And then I eventually found a job, shooting and editing video for a technology company. So they make, software. So I do a lot of marketing videos and tutorial videos and things like that. So I'm kind of a one-man band doing that kind of stuff now. So still in the same industry, but a little more low-key and chill stuff that is more of a 9-to-5 style thing, which has been fantastic. I love getting paid every 2 weeks. It's and they pay for my insurance, and it's wonderful. Yes. So I've been enjoying that quite a bit. But was in sort of that transition period of where we had moved out of Chicago and I was in Madison working freelance, and starting to think about, okay, maybe I should be doing a full-time job. So I had a lot of time on my hands at the time, and I started actually writing fan fiction for some of my favorite video games. And it was so much fun. And I was like, where has this been all my life? Like, I knew fan fiction existed and I had read some a little bit before, but it just, I had always been so busy and it just wasn't really a part of the things that I did or consumed. So I started writing that and I just got great feedback from people. And one of the pieces I wrote gained some popularity, and every week people were waiting for the chapters, and it just became this really exciting, fun community to be a part of. And that's kind of what gave me the confidence to say, hey, maybe I should try to write my own book. And then I did. And that kind of, that very first book was not The Last Watch, but the second book I wrote was The Last Watch. So I had a little practice book first, but.
How long in between your practice book and the book that I'm guessing is the one that became The Last Watch?
Yeah, so pretty much instantaneous. I wrote my first book in just a few weeks. I don't know how I wrote it that fast, to be honest. I must have had a lot of time on my hands, but I wrote it really fast and I workshopped it for a while, but it was a post-apocalyptic and it was kind of one of those things where it was like, okay, this is going to be a hard thing to sell, especially as a first book. So I'm going to just try to write something else and come back to revise this later, because I was kind of stuck in this loop of like getting various feedback, like very different feedback from people. And I wasn't really sure where to take that because I didn't really have the instincts at the time to know, okay, these people are right and these people are wrong. So I just kind of needed a step back to do something else. So I just immediately slid right into writing. It was at the time called The Divide, which is actually the series name now for The Last Watch. I just kind of went right into writing that almost immediately.
And was there anything in particular about space opera or military sci-fi that was the one you decided to write in first?
Yeah, I think it's just sci-fi has always been a favorite of mine. So I kind of remember looking at agent wish lists, actually. And not that I like wrote it specifically for an agent or anything like that, but I just remember like kind of getting a vibe of like, okay, none of these people want post-apocalyptic fiction. They typically actively don't want post-apocalyptic fiction, which I've always just loved. And I had come off writing fan fiction from Fallout, and it was just like a big thing in my brain at the moment. So I was like, what else do I like? And then obviously I'm a huge fan of Mass Effect, and I was like, okay, maybe I should try something in sci-fi because, you know, this is another genre that I'm obsessed with, I know a lot about, and I could have a lot of fun writing. And that was really the thing I wanted to make sure I was sticking with, was something that I would love to read myself. So I wanted to make sure I was, you know, not just writing to market, because that's an impossible thing to do, but just something that might be a little more of an easy pitch to agents while also being something that I would love to write.
I'm going to have to ask you how you got into fan fiction, but agents not wanting post-apocalyptic fiction makes entirely too much sense since we've been living it the past year. I could see where there might be a little burnout, but which fan fiction, I guess franchises were the ones where you said, I have to write in this?
Well, it all started with Dragon Age 2, which is tied for my top favorite video game of all time with Mass Effect 2. It was just such a well-done story, and there were so many avenues that I just had to expand on. And this was many, many years after it came out that this happened, because this was just in 2015, and I don't remember when that came out, but it was a while before that. But I had replayed it, and I was like, oh my god, I love this game. So it all started with that. And then Fallout 4 came out, which, again, just... And Fallout's interesting because it's pretty light on the characterization and story. Like, the story's pretty solid, but it's not like a BioWare game where everything is super fleshed out super well. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of room there in Fallout, the specific character, which actually The Last Watch is dedicated to that character, that I wanted to just write all about. So I just kind of started writing that, and he was a fan favorite, so it went over really well on, you know, AO3 and fanfiction.net and stuff. So it was just I hit it at a good time with that. But
I swear every week I find like two or three more people who are huge fans of Dragon Age, and I'm like, I didn't know the game was that big. What am I missing?
Oh, yes. It's so, 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 so good. I love Dragon Age so much. I mean, Mass Effect more because spaceships, mm-hmm. You know. Gotta love outer space. But Dragon Age 2 is just so, so well written, and the characters are so amazing, and they just did such a great job with it. And I love the other two as well. They're amazing. But Dragon Age 2 is actually one of the only games I've ever played more than once all the way through. Usually I get super attached to the story I created, and I can't fathom playing it more than once. But with Dragon Age 2, I just had to see all the other options. I remember early on when I was first playing that game, I had called my best friend about it, and he was like, "Oh yeah, you know when your brother does this." And I was like, "You have a brother? Like, I have a sister. What are you talking about?" And we started like talking about our stories, and we were like, "Oh my God, what game are we playing that has all these like totally different paths that you did not know you could take?" So, yeah, I've just always been really, really impressed by that game.
Nice. So, spaceships being a favorite of yours, what when you started coming up, when you started working on The Divide, which is the series that encompasses The Last Watch, and hint for future listeners, also the Exile Fleet.
Yep.
Was it the ships? Was it the military aspect of it? Was it the characters? You know, you've got your commanders and your rogues and your, shall we say, shenanigans chasing underlings. I mean, which was it that first made you look at what you were writing and say, here's where I'm going with this?
Yeah, so it actually was more of the concept, the sort of edge of the universe concept that started everything, and then all the other pieces were just, what do I love? Let's glom it all together into something. But the original inspiration actually came from a song lyric. There's a song written by Jimmy Webb called The Highwayman, and the lyric goes, "I'll fly a starship across the universe divide." And I remember hearing that line and being like, "What did you do? I have to know more." And that's all there is to that part of the song, and it goes on to the chorus and whatever. But that really is what triggered the idea of like, okay, what if we have a universe that actually is finite and has edges, and what could happen from there? And it actually started out as a generations ship story, like in its very, very infancy. There was going to be sort of a dying universe aspect and a fleeing the dying universe situation. But a couple other song lyrics actually ended up inspiring the idea of these sort of exiled, troubled souls having to guard the edge and what might happen, if you stuck these misfits out in the far reaches of space and then, that edge started collapsing.
We have a lot of stories that play with people living as far away from the center of the civilized universe as they can. We have, you know, we saw it in Firefly. We had groups of people in Babylon 5 talking about, you know, going beyond the rim. You have, to some extent, The Expanse. There's, to me, a sort of Wild West, living on the edge of the frontier, falling over it sort of aspect to those type of stories. And me being a sucker for Westerns, I think some of that appeals to me as a reader as well. So what would your teaser be to get the casual science fiction reader, the casual space opera fan? Give them the teaser pitch to get them to pick up The Last Watch.
All right. Well, usually what I say is it's the Night's Watch in space, which is actually very accurate. I think, the publisher really likes to compare it to Game of Thrones, and it really isn't. It is really just the Night's Watch part of it. That's the good comparison. So yeah, it's, this crew of misfit, outcast, rejected soldiers that are kind of tossed off to the edge to be forgotten about by society, and yet they're placed in this position where they are now forced to be the only thing stopping humanity from complete annihilation. So I think everyone can kind of, or most people at least, can kind of, enjoys a misfit's underdog type story. So I think that is a big appeal and a big draw of the general concept typically. But yeah, I usually just go with Night's Watch in space.
And now I'm trying to imagine, what is the galactic equivalent of that ice wall?
Yep. You get to read all about it in The
Yep.
Last Watch.
Oh, nice. So the the types of characters that are sent out to this desolate existence. I mean, it's kind of exactly like The Night's Watch, because it's the dregs, the behavioral misfits, and the commanders who are maybe a little bit too uptight for anything other than reining in a bunch of misfits in order to protect the line, so to speak. Is that a good thing or a bad thing to have outcasts set to protect something that kicked them out of that something?
I
I'm gonna be thinking
mean,
about that now.
yeah. That is a good question that they will be asking themselves when they find out
It's like
what they
we,
did.
oh no. We can't, no spoilers, no spoilers. We have to leave the juicy bits for the readers to hit upon themselves. But when you were writing these characters, what sort of inspiration other than Mass Effect were you drawing on?
The characters kind of came from out of nowhere, honestly, but you know, I take a lot of my inspiration for story ideas from song lyrics. And there's, I don't know if you've heard it, but a song by the Postal Service called "This Place Is a Prison." And I'm pretty sure it just shuffled on while I was brainstorming ideas for the book, and I was like, "Yes, this place is a prison." And it just kind of went from there as far as like, okay, what kinds of, you know, realistically, this can't be a literal prison because why would, I mean, it would be a very different story if it was, and that would be a perfectly fine way to take it. But I kind of had situated or landed on the idea of it being a military installation. So I kind of wanted to meet in the middle there as far as like, okay, this can be, you know, a prison in anything but name, but you know, we want these people to be functional soldiers that aren't just gonna mutiny the second they're out there. So there kind of had to be a balance of like, okay, these people aren't probably serial killers, but you know, they've got to be, you know, more of the misfit kinds, more of the people that have caused trouble and maybe not even necessarily legitimate trouble as far as what would normally be concerned that because or considered that, but because they have this place to kind of shunt people they don't like, it just becomes this default, like, all right, you're going to the divide for X years or however long the punishment is. And it kind of becomes a little bit of a boot camp in that way as far as trying to straighten some people out.
Political prisoners, inconvenient prisoners, people who know too much about something to be safely held anywhere else. Yeah. I could see that mix being rife for misuse and shenanigans. Now, you said you got some of your inspiration from song lyrics. Do these novels, does this series have a soundtrack?
It doesn't yet. It is on my to-do list to create at least one Spotify playlist to kind of put out there at some point. I would like to do more, you know, like one for each character kind of a thing. And I've also kind of played around with making that part of like if I were to create have enough time to create a Patreon at some point, you know, that would be kind of good bonus content to have out there. But I definitely want to. I feel like for some songs, people are gonna be like, what does this have, like this is the weirdest song that is not the right vibe at all, because like I get very in my head about music, like it is such an essential part of my drafting process. I could not live without it. I have so many, like, not only Pandora like curated playlists, but specific song playlists in my iTunes and stuff like that. That if it's like if I'm writing a scene between two specific characters, I have a playlist for those two characters and I go listen to it. Maybe not as I'm drafting, pending, sometimes it's hard to write with lyrics playing, but I'll use it as kind of a brain warm up for the vibe of those. So I would love to share those with people. It's just on the to-do list that is a million miles long at this current moment, but hopefully I'll have some more time in the next few months to create those.
At this point, I think you're on the right track because having each specific character, with their own theme song, I can see people going a little crazy over that, having a little bit of fun with that. So,
Yeah, definitely.
other than the stories in the Divide, currently of which there are two, and I'm assuming ideas for more. What other projects are you working on that have caught your interest or that will be catching your interest that you can talk about?
Yeah, so there isn't really anything I have to like announce or talk about at the moment. There's always I have a ton of ideas, all inspired by song lyrics, of course. But what I had been working on, I've basically been nonstop working on because we are doing a rapid release with the two Divide books. So, The Last Watch comes out April 20th, and then The Exiled Fleet comes out 4 months later on August 17th. So that's a really fast turnaround. Obviously, typically it's more like a year between a first book and its sequel. So in order to do that, we've had kind of a long lead time so that both books would be ready at essentially the same time, more or less. So I haven't really had a ton of time because I've almost had a deadline that entire 3 year period since we first signed the contract, related to the Divide. But I have been working on another book, which was the book I had been drafting while I was querying agents way back in 2016, 2017, which is not really in the same. It's sci-fi, it's military sci-fi, but I would pitch it as like a dark, gritty sci-fi Phantom of the Opera, which makes it sound like something probably other than what it really is, to most people, but. Basically, it's, if you could think of Phantom of the Opera as a military sci-fi, it's that. And
Okay.
I personally love it. But it's not super in line with sort of the grand space opera epic series kind of vibe that we're going for with the Divide. So it's kind of a thing where it's just gonna sit on the shelf for a while until my career is in a position where it might be a better thing to relook at, which is completely fine with me. I'm not like disappointed that we can't launch right into to going into something like that. But I do have other ideas for other series that are almost all of them have something to do with either the military or a militaristic organization, like a mercenary crew or something like that. And again, all inspired by songs or various song lyrics. But yeah, I honestly just really haven't had time. Another thing that I do want to do, though, that I'm really excited about and just want to have the time so badly to do is a sort of origin story series. So, like, what got each of the characters, not the main characters necessarily, but probably the secondary characters of The Last Watch, like, what got them sent to the Divide? And just seeing, like, a short story of just that incident, because they're kind of hinted at, but not really fleshed out for the most part, at least in the first book. So I thought it would be kind of an interesting bonus content thing to be able to offer people, to kind of write those little short stories. So that's something I'm really excited about that I'm just waiting to have enough time to do, but someday.
Well, hopefully you got to take a breather from I guess having to write two novels that would come out 4 months apart.
Yeah, no breather yet, but it kind of just slid right into promotion, it kind of unexpectedly. And part of that was on me, I really wanted to be involved in the promotion and I've been trying to be good about my social media and stuff like that, the last really 6 months or so. And then now, you know, publicity and stuff started about a month ago and has been going for full force and will really continue for a while after that, which is a great problem to have. And I'm not mad, but it doesn't leave much mental energy for, you know, actually being creative other than the materials that I am readying for the hopeful continuation of the series, which absolutely nothing is confirmed yet or anything like that. But, you know, they want you to write a synopsis and sample chapters and things like that. So that is something I've been trying to fit in between all the promotional stuff.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let everyone know where they can find you online and on social media to keep track of when you publish those playlists and when we might get more of The Divide.
Yeah, so my website is just my name, so jsdewes, which is DEWES.com, and that'll have links to all my socials, but all my socials are the same thing, so jsdewes, at jsdewes on everything. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. I am on TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok. I have an account on TikTok. I was like, I should probably save my name at the very least in case I actually want to do that at some point. But I'm lurking in the
Okay.
background of TikTok, let's say that.
Awesome. Well, we will have links to all of those and to where people can find The Last Watch and in August, The Exiled Fleet. Jenny, thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up because it's story time.
And everyone knows I am a complete sucker for space opera and for westerns, and this one is right up my alley. The Last Watch, well worth the read. I am just now starting on The Exiled Fleet, and I kind of really hope there's more to come, even if it's a collection of short stories or something. I'm down for it. We need more space opera, and I'm here for it. But tell me, what do you look for in your space opera? Do you want it to lean more towards the military conflicts or more towards the alien or scientific or mystery exploration side? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@writersafterdark.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Write After Dark, that's WRITE After Dark, or also the website, writersafterdark.com. Come on by, leave a comment, start up a conversation. It's all in good fun, right? Until someone loses a spaceship. You can listen to Writers After Dark on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Blair FM, Podchaser. The new one, the new big dog on the podcast streets is Podchaser. This is unpaid advertisement, but it's kind of like IMDb for podcasts. So you can find out all sorts of deep dive information and cross-pollination of your favorite podcasts through Podchaser. I'm kind of stoked. And yeah, leave us a review there. If you're enjoying listening to the show, like to thank everyone who is helping to support Writers After Dark and all of the shows in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your pledges through Patreon, your donations through PayPal really do help keep the lights on around here. So thank you. Thank you all for that. If you'd like to add your support by being a patron, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, you could become one of the supporters and followers who will then become eligible to get a perk. Every month I pick a winning email out of the hat, so to speak, and that person gets to choose a Blu-ray, a DVD, a 4K, a box set from a TV show, or a book. A wonderful, wonderful book. From the stash of items I have here that I have previously reviewed that I don't have space to keep. So the Slice of Sci-Fi family of supporters and patrons, they get first dibs. You guys get first dibs. But if a monthly pledge isn't quite your speed and you'd prefer to donate every now and then, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And that'll do it for this episode. See you next time. And remember, keep looking for your own stories.